Hi, this is Eric Lors, and you're listening to the Guru Selling System radio show. Now, obviously, there are tons and tons of factors that go into sales and into, especially into the realm of lead generation when you're first starting off in a sales situation. And one of the main ones, one of the most important ones is, actually, probably the single most important one, especially in that realm between lead generation and when you're going to go in and have your first meeting with a client, is that first impression. You know, making a good first impression on another human being. And there is a whole myriad. You know, we all think it's just about, you know, dress nice and, you know, present yourself and everything will be, you know, and then, you know, the rest of it is you presenting your text and your specs and, you know, asking specific questions and everything. Yet it's that first impression, those first few seconds, even before you open your mouth, that can make the difference between getting a sale and not getting a sale. And you might say it shouldn't be that way. That's not fair. You want to know what? It's built into us for millions and millions of years. It's been built into us to see a situation, to see another human being, and to start making decisions automatically and judgments based on what we see. So, how do we optimize this, or how do we manage this? How do we control this? How do we make sure that this isn't a thorn in our side? How do we make sure that we control as much as possible the experience of our appearance to another human being? And in order to tackle that that issue, I asked Angel Tucker to be on the show. Angel is the author of the book Stop Squatting with Your Spurs On, and we had a great interview, and we'll be getting to that interview in just a few seconds. Now, as always, I recommend that you stick around to the end of the show, because especially if dress and appearance and everything else like that, if you're finding that there's a disconnect when you actually go and meet with clients, this is definitely a show you want to listen all the way through to the end to, because again, Angel gives a lot of good information, a lot of good answers, a lot of understandings that you should have in terms of how you dress yourself, how you move yourself, and how you appearance yourself to your clients and your prospects. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into our interview with Angel Tucker. Okay, and today our guest is Angel Tucker. Now, Angel is an expert personality profiler who has been speaking professionally at venues across North America for the past 20 years. As a CHBC, or Certified Human Behavior Consultant, she has helped tens of thousands of people create win-win situations in every aspect of their life. And her book titled Stop Squatting with Your Spurs On, The Power to Read People, Get What You Want, and Communicate Without Pain was released in November 2010 and became a national bestseller the same month. She is regularly featured on radio, television, and in national magazines. And additionally, she has created an award-winning children's book series called The Four Pals that teaches kids how to recognize different personality types and appreciate their differences. Angel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric. Great to be here.
And we appreciate having you. Now, you know, you're obviously well skilled, and your purview is behavior. And you know, obviously, there's a lot about reading body language and all that kind of stuff. What I'd like to go over or kind of focus on with you today, though, is appearance. You know, again, our audience being in the sales realm, I'd like to focus in on appearance. Now, it can be, you know, and not just clothing per se, though I know that that's a big part of it, but I'd like to go, you know, kind of on the full spectrum of appearance with you. So in your opinion, what does appearance have to do with sales?
Well, that's a good question, and it's something that relates to personalities in a way people usually think, well, that doesn't have anything to do with personality types, but it actually does. And I tell you, here's the thing you have to remember in sales is that people's perception of you is going to determine their reception of you. And you only have one chance, as you've heard this a million times probably, to make that first impression. And so your appearance has everything to do with it, because the way someone perceives you based on your appearance is going to determine whether they want to do business with you or not.
So, is it just that simple, like, you know, that sort of gut reaction will determine, you know, how far forward you can go?
It really is, and if you think about even people you've had experiences with when you've been the purchaser of something, there's certain people that you clicked with right away, and then there's certain people that you thought, yeah, not quite sure about this one. And that goes back to your initial perception of that person. Oftentimes, we've decided whether we're going to work well with someone even before we've ever met them. You know, maybe the way they spoke to us on the phone, the way they walked into the room, the way they were dressed, which we're going to cover a lot today, the way they sit in the chair, all that has to do with how we receive someone. And so it's very important that you pay attention to your appearance.
What drives our appearance?
Oftentimes your personality type. You know, different personality types tend to naturally dress certain ways, and so we have to be aware of, is that the proper attire for the situation that I'm entering?
So, I'm aware of personality types, but why don't you, give us a bit more on the personality types and maybe talk about their dress and their overall appearance as it goes.
Okay, sure, yeah. Now, the system that I use, which is important to know because, you know, there's a lot of personality systems out there. So the one that I use is called DISC, D-I-S-C, and each of those letters represents a different personality type. So if you like, we can go through kind of an overview of what each letter means, and then we can talk about how they, you know, would typically dress in a work environment. So the D type, this is your dominant task-oriented outgoing person. If you've ever heard someone say, hey, I'm a type A, that's what they're talking about. They're a dominant personality type. It's all about getting stuff done, checking off those tasks, very bottom line, you know, communicators. And then the next one is the I, and this stands for inspiring. So this is your life of the party, loves to have fun and be the center of attention, not as good at getting work done, but great at building relationships. Also bottom line communicators. Then the third one is S, and that stands for supportive. So this is your kumbaya, peacemaking, great mediator type personality. So they're more reserved, but they're also very interested in people. And then your last one is C, and that stands for cautious. And this is your very analytical, reserved, task-oriented, perfectionist type personality.
So how do we, I guess, so we know the personality types. How do they normally dress, each of these different personality types?
Well, a D-type is normally going to dress in name brand clothes. They like status symbols. They're going to drive probably the most expensive car that they can afford. And so they tend to dress in name brand clothes and, you know, tend to be very sharp dressers, although they need to learn the particular attire for particular situations. So they don't necessarily have trouble with style. It's just a matter of knowing what's appropriate for each type of meeting. And then the eyes tend to dress in very bright colors, lots of patterns, which of course can be very distracting to potential clients, and kind of are very trendy. So sometimes their trendiness is not appropriate for the situation. S's tend to dress very comfortably, almost frumpy sometimes. It's more about comfort than it is about style. So of course they really need to be aware of the way that people are receiving them. And then C's tend to buy everything on sale, so it's not really a matter of how good does it look, it's a matter of how much did it cost me, which of course could affect their appearance in their work situation as well.
Have you seen people be, because there's a different personality types, have you seen them be successful, all the different personality types, or does one personality type in terms of sales tend to, because of their appearances, do they tend to be more effective?
Well, because of appearance, your D's and your I's are usually going to be the most effective when it comes to sales. And it's really a combination of appearance and personality type because they're naturally outgoing. And so they can, we have active ways of selling and we have passive ways of selling, as I'm sure you're well familiar with. And so they're more able to naturally go after business and handle rejection versus the S and the C, the more reserved type personalities.
Okay, so we go out there, or rather, you know, the different personality types go out there. They meet with clients or prospects and stuff. How does, so getting out of the mindset of the salesperson and their personality and jumping into the mindset of a prospect, how does as the prospect, how does the prospect process the type and the appearance that are being presented to them?
Well, if you think about being from a customer perspective, what they want to see is they want to see you dress at a certain level. Okay, they don't want you to come in as they're certainly not dressing below them. You know, if you're going to a business meeting, you certainly don't want to show up in a pair of jeans, you know. And so there's a standard that you need to dress in order to give the appearance of, hey, I'm a professional at what I do. Because oftentimes salespeople are viewed on a much lower level than they should be, but it's oftentimes because they put themselves there. And one of the reasons is because of their attire. You know, are they dressing appropriately for the situation? How are they going to be received by people when they walk into the room? And so we kind of have a standard rule of thumb when it comes to how you should dress depending on the situation.
What about genders? Does that affect,
Oh, that's a great question. I tell you, females... Females really have to be careful about keeping their goods under wraps, okay? You know, oftentimes, and I see this so, you know, I fly about 100,000 miles a year training people that own corporations, and I can't tell you how many times, Eric, I've seen women walk in the room, they're wearing tight clothing, or their chest is hanging out, or, you know, just... it's just not appropriate for a business environment, you know. You have to kind of keep the tatas under wraps, you know, and understand that when you're dealing with clients, you know, particularly if their spouse is right there, it can be a very uncomfortable situation, and it doesn't really present yourself as a sales professional, which is what I teach people how to do, versus just a salesman. You know, we want to be sales professionals, and so our attire definitely plays into that, and that is something that women need to take into consideration. They may look good, but is it appropriate for the current situation? So that would be your female example. And then males, Eric, I go into business meetings, and guys have got their hat on sideways, they've got the bling on, they got their pants hanging down to their knees, you know, and I'm thinking, if you walked into your doctor's office and he came out dressed like that, would you want to do business with him? So we really have to think about how we're perceived. Again, it goes back to that perception by the potential client, you know, when we're dressed in that attire.
Well, okay, so because there's a couple of questions come up here. You're talking about, obviously, with the bling and the sideways hats, obviously we're talking about younger generation, and right now we seem to be in a mix in sales in terms of what I would say is the older generation, you know, who's kind of at the tail end of their career, getting ready to leave the workforce, but they might be the higher ups and mm-hmm. such in companies. Right. And then you also have kind of the mid-level people like myself in their 40s. You know, we've still got a ways to go, but you know,
but we're hanging in there.
But we're not 20 somethings. And then I've heard a lot of griping about. Especially from senior management, about the 30-year-olds and younger having communication issues and everything else like that. So, you know, they're very much stuck to their you know, iPods, iPads, mm-hmm. you know, cell phones and such. Is that in any way, shape, or form blurring personality types, affecting appearance, and potentially affecting sales effectiveness?
Well, absolutely. And I tell you, it's funny about the younger generations because they're technology savvy, but they're not communication savvy. They communicate via technology versus building relationships. And as you know, in sales, building relationships is very, very important, you know, to build long-term customer base. And so one of the things I tell people as far as technology is, you know, don't text someone if they're right next door and you can walk next door and have a personal conversation with them. But we get so accustomed to, you know, I've seen people sitting on a bench beside each other on a park bench, and instead of turning around and talking to the person, they're texting back and forth. You know? And I'm like, that's just not going to cut it when it comes to building relationships and having a successful business in sales.
Trust me, I've seen that same thing. Do you see any issues in terms of, again, because of the generation, because they are communicating and they're getting used to this non-face-to-face communication? Is this affecting their wardrobe choices or causing them to kind of not make choices in terms of wardrobe?
Well, and I think that they think that wardrobe isn't as important as the technology. You know, hey, if I can do this and I communicate this way, then it really doesn't matter what I look like or how I dress. And that is so far beyond the truth, you know, particularly when they're dealing with, like you said, the mid-level, which we call ourselves the 40s, you know, and the older generation, who are the decision makers. When those are the types of people you're dealing with, you need to take your wardrobe into account and the way that you present yourself to them, because those are the ones that ultimately are making the decisions oftentimes.
And so basically, appearance starts to become. So the breakdown, if we can call it that, from the young generation to the older generation, is magnified through their appearance.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's, you know, that perfectly sums up the entire thing.
What are you seeing then out there? I mean, is there sort of a because you look at you look at young people, and you know, some will dress, you know, casually. Do you ever see a situation where people are kind of dressing to compensate? Could be a personality type trying a particular personality type trying to dress to compensate. To try and be like another personality type, or a younger person trying to overdress to compensate, somebody in their mid-20s who's, wearing, the $1,000 three-piece, suit that, with a pocket watch that's, trying to look like they're in their 50s or
sure.
something.
Sure, yeah, definitely. And there's definitely a balance. You know, that's the thing they need to realize, that there's a balance. You don't have to go from one extreme to the next, but it is very important for younger generations to realize how to dress appropriately, because it's already harder for them to be taken seriously in their profession to begin with when they're younger. And so, you know, when they show up either underdressed or trying to act even much older than they are, then you're going to have problems in both scenarios. So they have to learn, you know, and that's why I kind of have a rule of thumb for people on how to dress appropriately for each situation.
Can you give us some rules of thumb then?
I'm glad you asked, Eric.
Okay.
Here's the rule of thumb. You always want to dress one level above your audience, okay, until you get up to formal wear. And so, for example, let's say that you're going to be meeting some other salespeople or some potential clients at a picnic, let's say, and you know that everyone else is going to be wearing probably shorts or more casual clothes. You want to dress one level up from that, okay? You want to set yourself apart, but without going too far. So, in other words, you would show up maybe in khaki pants versus shorts, you know, like your potential clients are going to be wearing. So if you're going to a meeting where you know everybody's dressing business casual, for example, in khakis, you would want to dress one level above that. So you would want to dress business, okay? And so you just take it one level above, and then you're always going to make a great impression on your potential clients.
Now, what about situations where... Because one of the things, I talk with my clients about, though, is to make sure that you don't look exactly like everybody else, because that can also be detrimental, that if you completely blend in, you become like wallpaper.
Right, exactly. And that goes back to, and that's another reason to dress one level above, you know, because if everybody else is wearing shorts and whatever, and you're dressed nicer, guess what? You're going to stand out. But you don't want to stand out too much where people are either intimidated, you know, by you, or kind of thinking, well, you know, that was kind of cocky to dress like that. And so it's that one level above rule that's going to keep you from looking the same as everybody else, but also not standing out so much that maybe you make the opposite impression that you're trying to make.
Now, out of curiosity, this is certainly a lifetime of study. What got you into studying, you know, personality types and ultimately, you know, kind of focusing down in appearance here?
That's a great question, and actually it started in a way that most people wouldn't even think. I had joined a multi-level marketing group, which I never did anything with, but part of their program was to listen to motivational tapes. That tells you how long ago it was, motivational tapes. And so I listened to some about, you know, how to recognize different personality types. I found them interesting, so then I went and bought some books by the same author and loved those. And then shortly after that, I had to go to a summer camp to be a youth director for some teenagers. And when I arrived, they called a staff meeting, and they said, okay, here's the deal. You have to teach a class every day for an hour, and we don't have any materials or resources for you, so just do what you want. And so I thought, wow, well, I'm just going to, you know, I thought this personality stuff was interesting. I'm going to share it with the teenagers. And I'll tell you, Eric, once I started talking to these teenagers, and remember, I just knew a little tiny bit at this point, I saw how knowing just a little bit of this information can truly change the dynamics of every relationship that we encounter. And so from there, I went and got certified. I mean, this I've just made it a full-time profession because I understand what value it holds to know different personality types and then to take that information to use it to create win-win situations in every area of our life.
Now, and I can see where your passion came from when working with the kids and everything else like that. So now you take this out there and you apply, you know, you train this and such in companies, and applying it again back to the appearance piece. Is there? How am I going to phrase this question? How do we? I mean, is there a way to dress that's like, you know, for your personality type or for you, where you know, like power dressing, I guess you could say, but not to impress so much the client, even though that's necessary. But is there, you know, do people, I guess, ever inadvertently dress themselves disempoweringly in terms of, could it be colors, could it be patterns, could it be choice of materials? You know, do we sometimes, because being comfortable and being comfortable, but also appearance-wise is important. Do you ever see people who kind of screw up themselves by trying to dress correctly?
Yeah, I do, because and that's an important point that you just made. It's fabrics. Fabrics are very important, and one of the things, and it's. Typically leans more towards the women than it does towards the men when it comes to fabrics, particularly knit fabrics or things that are stretchy. And one of the things that I tell people is just because they make it in your size doesn't mean you should wear it, okay? Because we assume, hey, well, that's my size, you know, okay, well, it looks dressy, so I'm going to put it on. You need to focus on how does it look on your body. You know, look in a mirror, ask friends that are going to give you honest opinions because, you know, I see particularly women wearing really nice things, but for example, women that are maybe a little overweight or a little busty should not wear horizontal stripes. It looks horrible. And it's particularly if you're going to be on camera, that's really, really a bad idea. And so, yes, they need to not just purchase things that are, you know, business attire or labeled that way, but how's it going to look? How are the fabrics going to look on you? How's that pattern going to look on you? You know, not just go say, oh, well, it's in the business section, so I'll grab it off the rack, and surely that'll be okay.
So there's a like an underlying image, and I'm not taking it down to the level of just image consulting, but there's an underlying image consulting or image piece to this.
You bet. And I tell you, I use an image consultant, and it is not a bad idea. And I tell people, you know, go to a store, for example, and I'm not trying to pitch any particular store, but this is where I get, you know, a lot of my professional wear. I do a lot of television, you know, and so it's very important how you dress, obviously, for that. But you can go to stores that have personal shoppers. For example, Macy's, okay, has personal shoppers. It doesn't cost you any money at all. But you can go in, you can make an appointment with them, and you can say, here's my size, here's the type of work I do, here's the type of attire that I need, and they will help you piece together things for you that are going to fit your body, that are going to look well, you know, and that are going to make that great impression that you're aiming for.
Okay, well, for those who can access Macy's. Then
and there's probably other stores, too. That just happens to be every time I go to New York City, you know, that's the one I like to go to the personal shoppers there at Macy's. But I'm sure there's other, excuse me, stores that offer that. But it's important to have that type of professional opinion because there's certain patterns, particularly if you're going to be videoed. Let's say maybe you're making YouTube videos or something to promote your business, or even something on a more professional level. Maybe you're making a video of what you do for a living. Certain patterns are not going to play well on television, and certain colors are not going to play well on television. For example, you should never wear white when you're on television, okay? And you should avoid wearing most blacks when you're on television. And there's certain reds that look good on certain skin tones that don't look good on other skin tones. And so, you know, it's not just about only dressing one level up, but picking the appropriate clothing within that level as well.
Hmm. Well, so there's a, obviously then there's a whole construct behind this, you know, and obviously we could go on for hours just discussing, I guess, skin tones and colors.
Exactly.
And everything else like that. Well, since that's the thing, let's just real quick cover colors in terms of not for skin tones, but in the opposite, the buyer's response. Are there certain colors from a neurological standpoint that create particular mindsets or emotions or
yes,
spots?
And I will tell you, I'm not an extreme expert in this field, but I will tell you what I do know. Light pink creates a calm effect, okay? And so if you want people to have a, you know, a calm conversation with you, or you're trying to make an impression that you're trustworthy, okay, then light pink, say, for example, for a guy, okay, let's say if you have on a suit and you have on a light pink shirt, okay, and then another color is green. Green is a color of comfort, and so that's a color that you can wear as well, too. And, again, it does go back to you have to pick certain greens for your skin tone and all that type of stuff. But, again, I'm not an expert in that field. I just know a little bit about, you know, how kind of colors are received and that type of thing.
Hmm. Yeah, I tend to stick with blues. So.
And blue is another good one, too. You know, you just have to be very careful. But blue is a comfort color as well. And it depends, too, like on your eye color and how the color interacts with your eyes. You know, there's a lot, and that's why I do the image consultant thing, because sometimes there's things that, wow, I didn't even think of that. You know, I really like the shirt. It looked great on the rack. But then when I put it on, yeah, that's not really the right one, you know.
No, I hear you. So now, what about, so this is obviously dressing during, you know, for salespeople, you know, you're dressing one way during your work hours and when you know you're going to be meeting with clients and everything else like that. Is it necessary for salespeople to maintain, you know, this new appearance paradigm in their mind when they're not, you know, during their normal working hours, or, you know, can they go blah, or does that sort of counteract, you know?
Well, it really depends, Eric, on what are your surroundings going to be. You know, for example, if you're still going to have a name badge on, you need to maintain the same professional appearance. You know, if you're in a restaurant, for example, I train a lot of real estate agents. I mean, a lot, tens of thousands of them every year. And so one of the things I tell them, first of all, is always have your badge on. Everywhere you go, have that badge on, because everybody likes to talk about real estate. Okay, and so don't be a secret agent. Let people know that that's your profession. But if you're going to do that, you better have the correct clothing on too. You know, don't show up with your name badge wearing a bikini or whatever. You know, you want to have the appropriate clothing. If you have magnets on your car, you want to drive appropriately, you know, that's going to make a good impression on your business. You know, if you're just going to go hang out with friends and go to the movie and you have no intention of ever talking about what you do or anything like that, then sure, wear whatever you want to wear. But if there's any chance that people are going to see you, maybe that are clients of yours or something like that, you want to make sure that you maintain that impression.
Huh. Okay. Well, it certainly makes sense to me. So, again, you know, we've obviously gone over quite a bit here, but if you were going to sum it up and give, you know, say two, maybe three pointers that you would say, here's what you should take away from today's, you know, conversation, what would those pointers be?
You need to dress one level above your audience, which is your potential client. You need to wear the correct fabrics and colors for your body, and so get opinions from other people. Don't just assume that it looks good because it's your size, okay? So get opinions from other people, and then remember that you only have one shot to make that first impression, and so you've got to make it good.
All right. Well, simple, straightforward, and utterly true. So, Angel, you know, obviously this is what you do. You know a lot about this. How can our listeners get in touch with you and learn more about your products or services?
Well, the easiest way is to go to my website, which is angeltuckerauthor.com. And as you mentioned, my best-selling book, they can check out the book there. And what the book does, Eric, is it teaches the reader how to recognize personality types in less than 1 minute. And so then they can take that information and that insight into other people and learn, how does that person need me to say things in order to create a win-win situation with them? What's important to them? What makes them take action? How can I gain them as a client? How can I improve my relationship with my spouse? It covers all that kind of stuff. And then we have some other great materials and resources. We have personality assessments that a lot of business companies use when they're hiring. In fact, the companies that use those have a less than 1% turnover rate, the companies that use our assessments. So we have a lot of great tools on there on angeltuckerauthor.com. And then they can also receive my free newsletter, which is going to give them, biweekly pointers and tips and specials and that type of thing.
All right. So angeltuckerauthor.com, all one word.
You got it.
All right. Well, you heard it, folks. Go on over. Check out Angel's site. Obviously, if you're in sales, you're always trying to better yourself and know more about how, not only your clients, but also how you interact with your clients and how you can more effectively interact with your clients. This is an area that I would definitely recommend you check out, your personality typing and your appearance and all that and how that will work together. So definitely check out Angel's website, again, angeltuckerauthor.com. And Angel, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thanks so much, Eric.
And thank you for taking the time to listen today. Now, appearance is definitely important when you're first going in and meeting with that client. And a key factor in your appearance is not, obviously the physical factors are very important. It's also the mental factors. What's going on in your mind when you are meeting with a client, when you're first walking in there? And that has a lot to do with your mental emotional connections and being able to control your emotions, your feelings, at the drop of a hat. And that is very important, because you can be dressed to the nines, but if your emotional state is out of whack, then it doesn't really matter how well you've dressed. So if you want to understand more about your emotional connection and your appearance and how to utilize that in meeting with those clients, a great book is my book, Be Do Sale, and you can actually read the chapter where we talk about controlling your emotional states. That's in the first three chapters, actually chapter 3 of the book, and you can actually get the first three chapters of the book absolutely free. Just go on over to bedosale.com, that's bedosale.com, and you will be able to download the first three chapters for free and read all about controlling your mental emotional states so that you can apply that with your appearance when you go in to first meet with clients. And if you have any questions, of course, for us here at the Guru Selling System, you can either call us. Our number in the United States is 973-551-9220. And if you're outside the USA or Canada, you can certainly email us at info@guruselling.com. That's info@guruselling.com. Anyway, this is Eric Lohr saying thanks again for taking the time to listen, and always remember, you got to be a person before you can be a salesperson. Take care. Bye-bye.